We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Tom, this is just a level check for you. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Check 1, 2, 3. Shoot me a text if you're getting that okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Check, check, check.
Yeah, they said they have some, so.
Cool. 1, 2, 3, check 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Level, level, level from the Wrath building. Tom, once again, here's a level for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you can just shoot me a text that this is coming through okay. 1, 2, 3. This is on the brick link. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'll never forget that guy. Walk up to me and go on to, what did you say to me?
I don't think I did.
I thought it was too bad.
No, you are my bad move.
Yeah, because remember I thought it was the guy that said he'd come back.
Christmas
and New
Year's, but we don't expect quite this.
Yeah, it's a tough time, you know?
Yeah.
So,
how are you, Mike?
Oh, keeping busy, you know, especially today. But I mean, as soon as I saw that, or at least I saw it, you knew there was something.
Check 1, 2.
yummy, am I? You want him to basically won't worry about John where the fossil mic
the game. That time of year. TV
okay.
3, do you see
that? Good. Good. Thank you.
Mic check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Mic check.
Were you getting her? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Anyone,
check 1, 2, 3, 4.
Bueller?
Hello, hello.
Work for me. Work for me.
Tom, you should be hearing that back there. 1, 2, 3. Check, check, check.
Great. All right, awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Commissioner Dirksberger resigned today at 12 noon by email pursuant to my request that tender his resignation. Last Saturday, December 23rd, at approximately 10 a.m., I was made aware verbally of an alleged serious incident involving the commissioner and a subordinate employee in Albany, New York, during a conference on December 5th and or 6th of this year. This is this past Saturday. I immediately engaged senior staff, including the county attorney and the personnel commissioner, who was and still is in the United Kingdom on vacation, in reviewing the allegation and to examine relevant county personnel policies. Later that evening, in response to my call to him, I received a return call from an Albany Police Department detective. I informed him that I had no interest in interfering in his investigation, but because of the critical importance of Mr. Dirksberger's position, I needed some information. I asked him whether Mr. Dirksberger was a suspect in a criminal investigation in Albany County. He confirmed that Commissioner Dirksberger was a person of interest in a criminal investigation. After I asked him what, if any, charges had been filed or would be filed at that time, the detective confirmed no charges had been filed and would not confirm any potential charges that might be filed against him in the future. Over the weekend, we continued our internal investigation, as well as through Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. As part of the internal investigation, a written incident report was filed by a senior DSS staff member at 8:30 p.m. last night and sent to the personnel commissioner, the deputy county executive, and my chief of staff, Jennifer Hibbett. I actually did not receive a copy of this report until this morning. This morning, upon review of the incident report and other information provided during the internal investigation, the county attorney, the deputy county executive, and I determined that the commissioner had clearly violated multiple county personnel policies. Mr. Dirksberger was not in county government today. He has not been in office all week. He was scheduled to be off. Therefore, at approximately 10 a.m., our chief of staff called him and told him that he must report to the Rath building to discuss a personnel matter. He informed the chief of staff that he was out of the area and would not be available to meet, but would be back in town tomorrow if that was acceptable to the county executive. He was called back, and a message was left asking him to meet today. He did not come into the office, but he did call back, at which time a conference call was held with Mr. Dirksberger, the county attorney, the deputy county executive, my chief of staff, and I. That was at approximately 11:15. I informed Mr. Dirksberger on the phone of what I knew of the investigation. I asked him specific questions with regards to his conduct. Based on his responses, I believe he violated multiple county policies and asked him to resign, which he did verbally over the phone. At that point, I asked for a written confirmation of his resignation via email, which he agreed to do. I informed Commissioner Dirksberger that upon receipt of his email, his access to the county system, including access to all county buildings, would be deactivated, and he would be required to turn in all county property, including cell phones and laptops. Approximately 1 hour after that conversation, I received the following email from Commissioner Dirksberger. And it's being passed around to media, members of the media. I am tendering my resignation effective 12/28/17 due to personal reasons. Thank you for the opportunity to work in an environment to better the lives of individuals. Upon receipt of the email, Mr. Dirksberger's access to the county systems was deactivated, and First Deputy Commissioners Marie Cannon and Sharon Rochelle were informed of Mr. Dirksberger's resignation. Mrs. Cannon was asked to serve as acting commissioner until a search for a replacement could be conducted. At 2:30 p.m., Deputy County Executive White joined First Deputy Commissioners Rochelle and Cannon to inform Senior Department of Social Service personnel of Mr. Dirksberger's resignation and that Mrs. Cannon would be serving as acting commissioner. At no time today have I or any member of my staff been advised of any criminal charges being filed against Mr. Dirksberger. His resignation today is based on our internal investigation and Mr. Dirksberger's answers to my questions. A local media outlet is reporting that criminal charges have been filed against Mr. Dirksberger. We have no independent confirmation of that. Furthermore, pursuant to a conversation between a senior staff member and a representative of the Albany Police Department at 4:45 p.m. today, our senior staff member was advised that no charges have been filed by the Albany Police Department against Mr. Dershberger. Regardless of whatever criminal investigation may be occurring, his conduct warranted removal from his post. Due to the unique nature of the Social Service Commissioner being appointed to a specific term and not serving at my pleasure, I could not terminate him at will, and therefore I requested his resignation, which he did provide. My administration demands the highest standards from our appointed leadership, and based on the conduct that I believe occurred, Mr. Dershberger was asked to resign, and he did resign. Thank you.
What's the alleged serious incident?
I can't speak about it. It is a personnel matter involving, I will say, a subordinate employee.
Did this happen while he was on a county business trip?
It's my understanding he was attending a conference in Albany that was not an official county conference, but was a conference dealing with issues associated with the Department of Social Services matters.
Would he have been sent there by you guys, meaning you'd pay?
I didn't send him there, but he did decide to go, and he would have been paid for by county government.
Would it have been routine for him to travel to a meeting like that with a member of his staff?
It's not unheard of for him, and it's my understanding that there were multiple members of Erie County government that were representing the county at this, or were there at the conference, as in noting that they were representatives of Erie County government. He was not there only with this one individual.
Are you able to speak to whether or not he's ever been reprimanded before?
To my knowledge, he's never been reprimanded. I've never reprimanded him with regards to any of these issues. I have not looked at his personal file, truthfully, since this started, but as I've been county executive, I am unaware of any reprimand with regards to conduct such as this.
With what happened, have you looked back or talked to prior employers to see if there was any problems?
At this point, I haven't, because I thought the most important thing was to resolve this issue and determine we did the right thing. The Social Service Commissioner is not only a high-profile position, but the Social Service Commissioner, by law, is the guardian of many individuals in our community, at-risk children, adults that need protective services. And my first and all of our inclination, not only the individuals here, but others who are involved, including, as I noted, the county's Commissioner of Personnel, David Palmer, who is actually in England and has been participating in phone conferences, was to determine, did he violate county policies? Do we have what we consider to be evidence to prove that he did it? We put together our investigation. Today, we did not talk to him until 11:15. I had not talked to him at all since I had learned of these alleged allegations on Saturday the 23rd until I actually talked to him in the conference today. I led the conference. I asked the questions. Based on his response, I determined that he violated county policy. I told him I believe he violated county policy. I had no longer any faith in him, and I asked for his resignation, and he resigned.
Doesn't this seem like, separate from whatever he did, skip, we're going to talk about that anyway, but an absolute lack of judgment in these times to do something?
I can't talk about the particulars because it would be hearsay. I'm an attorney. I know I wasn't there, so I can't talk about it. I will note, we do background checks of all appointees in my administration, and he submitted to a background check at that time, but that background check would have only identified criminal charges or convictions, and to my knowledge, there was nothing on his record.
So the subordinate was from Erie County or was a person in Albany?
I will confirm that it was an Erie County employee.
You mentioned that's a really significant job, very important job, dealing with at-risk individuals in the county. How does this affect the day-to-day operations of that department?
Well, from the standpoint of the day-to-day operations, I am very, I feel very secure that the staff that we have, starting with Acting Commissioner Cannon, as well as First Deputy Commissioner Sharon Rochelle from our Family Safety Division, Mrs. Cannon works in the Family Independence Division, so to speak. We have some incredible staff in the Department of Social Services. This will not affect the day-to-day provision of services. It's not the first time I had to deal with the resignation or the what would be considered the termination of a social services commissioner, because the prior social services commissioner was not rehired, and we actually had to go through a process in which at that time Mrs. Cannon was acting for a short period of time. So I don't have any concern that this will interfere with the services that are provided to the people of Erie County.
Can you confirm that the investigation is sexual in nature?
As I noted, I have no interest in interfering in the investigation with the Albany Police Department. I did talk to a detective with the Albany PD on late Saturday, and one of the things that I stressed to him is that I would like as much information as possible, but I do not want to interfere with your investigation, wherever it may stand. And while he confirmed that he was a person of interest, he would not state definitively what charges or if any charge would be filed against Mr. Dershberger. And as he noted to me, that was not his responsibility. That was for the Albany District Attorney's Office to determine in the end. I do know, as an attorney having practiced law, that there are different ways in which charges can be brought against an individual. An arrest warrant can be made based on probable cause. It also can go before a grand jury. And at this time, the Albany PD detective told me that there had not gone before a grand jury. No grand jury was reviewing this issue, and he was still in the process of his investigation. Throughout this last few days, we had no evidence, no information to confirm that Mr. Dershberger had been arrested or any charges had been leveled against him. And when we a senior staff member of my administration contacted a representative of the Albany PD, who at 4:45 p.m. today noted no charges have been filed against Mr. Dershberger, which is very, very, I'm going to say disconcerting that no charges have been filed, but because a media outlet published making it sound like he has been arrested and he had been charged, which we have no evidence of. And I think it's very important in a situation, no matter what happens, that accurate information get out.
So, I mean, obviously no charges, I think we've made that clear, but what is the investigation in nature?
It's an ongoing police investigation, and I think it's, at this point, it's appropriate for you to contact the Albany PD. We look at things as it is associated with county government and policies. We believe that a number of policies had been violated. And therefore, based on that, regardless of whatever the results of the criminal investigation, which may determine that no charges will ever be filed, I felt it was appropriate, after we finally had enough sufficient information, to request the resignation, and he did resign.
And December 5th is when the county found out about the
investigation? No. Did not find out about it. I was not made aware, nor were any of these other individuals made aware, until December 23rd. Saturday morning, which you can imagine being the holiday weekend, many people out of town, my personnel commissioner actually having been in London already, that it was very difficult to try to get people and get information. I had hoped to have actually found out if there was a police report that was filed, but I have not seen, though we've requested, I have not seen a police report. So I cannot confirm anything that might be in a police report because I have not seen it. I don't even know if a police report has been filed. I do know, though, that through the confirmation from the Albany detective that there was an ongoing investigation.
So you were informed directly by the Albany City?
By a representative of the Albany Police Department, a detective, that there was an ongoing investigation and that Mr. Dershberger was a person of interest, but he did not and would not confirm, because I asked him, what are the potential charges that could be leveled against Mr. Dershberger? And this kind of goes to your question. He said, I cannot give you that answer because I don't know what the charges will be, if any charges will be. Those are in the hands of the Albany District Attorney's Office. Because of the seriousness of this matter, I was not going to wait to see if the Albany PD would actually impanel a grand jury or would, in effect, arrest him at a later date. I felt it was important that we moved internally to do an internal investigation. That's why the county attorney was brought in. That's why the director of personnel or county commissioner of personnel was brought in. That's why the deputy county executive was involved. That's why my chief of staff, Jennifer Hibbett, was involved. And there were very few people who actually knew that. This was not something that we were talking about in county government because I did not want to go out there and do something that could besmirch or defame an individual, but we wanted to ensure that we were taking the right action for Erie County. I have to have the utmost faith in my commissioners that they're acting appropriately. And if they violate that faith in my eyes, then I have If it's somebody who serves at my pleasure, I will fire them. But I did not have and could not fire Mr. Dershberger because he serves for a stated term. I could ask for his resignation. If he had rejected the resignation request, if he had said no, I was willing to move forward with a process that exists in Erie County government, which would have been a three-person tribunal, which would have included myself, the county comptroller, and the chairman of the county legislature, which would have been a public noticed and a public hearing. I was willing to go through with that if necessary, but Dr. Dershberger resigned, so it was unnecessary to do that.
You appointed him in 2015 with quite, you know, high accolades coming from you for Mr. Dershberger. I mean, can you tell us a little bit about your feelings toward this entire situation?
Well, let's put it this way. Dr. Dershberger came with high recommendations from those. He was not a member of county government before. He came from the not-for-profit sector. And he had very, very high recommendations from those that he served with. I am very disappointed. I'm angry, to put it mildly, about this entire situation because this is not something you should have to deal with. But once we realized we had an issue and a problem, we went about it to deal with it. I can say clearly that I expect when I hire someone to serve in a high-capacity role in my administration, I expect them to serve with integrity. I expect them to serve honorably, and I expect them to serve the people of this community. As I remind all members of my administration, including individuals that I don't appoint, that you might think that you have a boss, and that boss is a commissioner, the deputy county executive, myself, but that is not in fact correct. Our bosses are the people of Erie County. I am accountable to the people of Erie County, and so is each and every member of my staff, whether they're appointed or they're a member of civil service. And therefore, I hold those people to those highest standards. Because in the end, when you violate the public's trust, whatever it might be, you are violating the oath that you took to uphold not just the Constitution of the United States, Constitution of the State of New York, and a charter of Erie County, but a level of integrity that I expect from my commissioners.
Can you expand on which policies you believe you have violated that led to you making this decision?
I'd rather not at this point because I think it could have an impact on any criminal investigation that's ongoing in Albany.
You were required, to inform the chairman of the legislature?
I don't know if I was required to inform, but I did call the chairman. I called the minority leader, and I called one other individual of the legislature. I called the chairman, and I said he had resigned. I said based on his resignation notice that he was resigning for personal reasons. I told him that Marie Cannon was going to be appointed the acting and that we would commence a search, but it probably would not start until after the new year. He was surprised. He asked me, did this come out of nowhere? And I said, yeah, it basically did. But here we are today, and at some point in the future, hopefully I'll be able to tell you more about it.
Have you been able to talk to the county employee that this allegedly happened with, and how is this person doing?
I have not talked to the county employee, though I do know that representatives of Erie County government have, but I'd rather not give the specifics of those conversations because I was not part of it.
And what happens next with that employee? Is there policy going forward with how his or her situation is handled?
There are, and it would be following the personnel policies of Erie County government. That employee is in some ways they're associated with this, but this matter in my eyes, as we're dealing with today, is in regards to Mr. Dershberger. The employee themselves, that's a subordinate that was a part of, I will say, is someone that we have a great respect for and hope for the best.
Had you always intended, after Mr. Dershberger resigned today, to inform the public via news conference, or were you planning to wait some future date to announce his resignation?
Well, we did. I did inform the chairman. I did inform the minority leader and one other member of the legislature. We did anticipate that information would get out because we were letting our commissioners know. The Department of Social Services senior staff was informed, as well as then they let subordinates know. We were intending to provide more information, but I have to admit, once a local media outlet reported that charges had been filed and he'd been arrested, which we had no evidence of. I felt it was important that we hold the press conference tonight to describe the situation that we were aware of, the actions that were taken, and to confirm that at no time have we been made aware that any arrest has been made, nor have any charges been filed. This is just because I think it's important, because the public is hearing from a media outlet that he was arrested and he was charged, and that, to our knowledge, is not accurate. And I want people to understand that the actions were taken today were based on our internal investigation. I do not want to interfere in any action that the Albany Police Department and the Albany District Attorney are doing. And if Mr. Dershberger broke the law, he needs to be held responsible. But that's for the Albany County District Attorney's Office and the people of the state of New York to make that determination. I was making a determination based on what we believed was his violation of county policy.
All set, folks? Thank you.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.